Are you ready?
Hey, everybody. My name's Luke. This is Between Two Worlds podcast. We're going to get started here.
What number?
This is episode 228. One number away from Ron's favorite number.
Yes.
This is the number of...
Evgeny Malkin.
Really?
No. He's 71.
Why would you...
no one is throwing names. I just
Who's 28? Ron?
28.
Miroslav
Iniček.
Adrian Peterson.
Danny Cheevers.
Who?
Cheevers. I don't know. Luongo?
Are you just throwing names out there?
Brodeur. He was...
Do you even know the first names of any of those guys that you just said?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
Who are they?
Evgeny Malkin, Pittsburgh Penguins.
Okay, that one I got, but...
Martin Brodeur. He's 30, though, I think.
Luongo.
Roberto.
Okay.
There you go.
And you had one other one there.
Cheevers.
Okay.
I don't know.
Who's Cheevers?
Billy Denny? Who knows? Who's He's some 70s Who's... goalie.
Oh, that voice is Gitch.
Hey.
And that's Ron.
Yes, it is Ron. Last time I checked.
We're going to get started with a bit of a recap. Gitch, what happened to you this weekend and on Thursday night?
This past Thursday was our high school youth night. It was a great time. We're still going through our series Inside Out, talking about how Jesus transforms your whole life, but that change starts on the inside and goes out. So that's the name of the series, Inside Out. We're actually going through a book study, not directly, like we aren't reading it together as a group, but part of the idea comes from Max Licato's book, Just Like Jesus. And in it, he talks about that very thing, how Jesus transforms all these different areas of your life, starting with the heart. And so we're kind of working through that. And I read a story from John 13 where Jesus has his disciples in the upper room where for the the Last Supper, when they're celebrating the Passover meal. And Jesus, after the meal, bends down and begins to wash the disciples' feet. And really, the idea there is Jesus' act of humility and service towards his disciples, which symbolized what he was about to do, not just washing feet, but he was about to wash their sins and fully cleanse and forgive and purify them. And so that kind of put up a framework for the idea of how does that translate for us? How do we forgive? How do we treat people? Mm. So it was a really good evening. And then over the weekend, we had our high school retreat up at Camp Luther, and we jumped in on their momentum retreat. So that was for grades 9 to 12, or I think ages 14 to 17. And so there was about 55 or so high school students from different parts of the Fraser Valley, Mission, Maple Ridge, I think a couple from Coquitlam. Different teenagers from different schools and different walks of life came together, and we had an awesome time. We had our very own Dan Sparrow did the speaking, and so it was good. Yeah, it was an awesome time, and everything from cabins to a couple of wide games to eating meals together to games, all that sort of stuff.
Was highlight. Just a lot of what fun. Was your highlight?
My highlight, I think, was probably just seeing my youth leaders in action, seeing my youth leaders really building into students. It's always exciting for me to see. I also enjoy the fellowship that goes on around tables, around meals. Oftentimes, we underestimate the amount of time we spend eating, but especially in a camp setting. I mean, if you give 30, 45 minutes, roughly, on average, for a meal, and you're doing that three times a day plus a snack... I mean, you're up to three. That's a significant chunk of the day spent around a table with your groups. So some good conversations happen there. So yeah, meals. Also because I like to simply just like to eat. But the fellowship that goes on around tables is
favorite meal
of the weekend.
Yes.
Quesadillas. Saturday lunch, man.
That was good. I was there for that one.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. It was good. They don't mess around there.
No.
Oh, but the butter chicken too, Saturday night.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, you missed
really?
Out.
Yeah. Butter chicken.
Make good butter chicken.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, Heidi, shout out to Heidi. She's
If you're listening to this, Heidi.
She's delightful. She runs a good crew.
Yeah.
And keeps some of her staff in shape too. They got some
wild.
You know what I mean? Yeah. A couple loose cannons and she keeps them in line.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, for that was for campus. We had a youth night Thursday.
right after our weekend retreat.
Yeah, I think we already talked about it, though.
Yeah, so this was our first week back after the retreat. Always good to see the result of a weekend away.
Did anybody come back? Any of your students come back after the retreat to youth?
No, all of them left.
No. Huh. Why would you ask a question like that, Gitch?
Do you think all of them came.
And more.
And more.
And more.
They all brought their friends. I get it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is always good because you want to see if there's any, the residue from a good retreat, which we had, and just to even hear the students talk about it. And we saw a video clip of it, which was good. And of course, it fired them all up again, which is awesome to see. And then afterwards, too, just even talking to parents about it too, as they even some would just come by and say, "Hey, thanks. That was a great weekend for my son or my daughter," which is kind of cool.
You need a different word. You said residue. That's just gross. That's residue when parents come up to you. Residue.
No, I said the residue after the retreat.
That's what I'm saying.
What's left over?
It's just you need a new word. Residue.
I don't think there's anything wrong with residue. To be honest, residue can be a bad thing on a tub
or your underwear.
Oh, so why would you go there?
I'm just saying.
Do you not launder your clothes?
No, when there is residue, that's when I launder them.
Launder them? Yes, there's too much.
But then are we on like a 20-second delay here that we could actually
go back.
edit some of the things that happen here? We're not, are we?
No. Wow. Unless Brian can do that.
Maybe we do.
I'll look into that.
Yeah. But Thursday night was good.
Thursday night was good.
Yeah.
We talked about revenge.
Yes.
So that was nice.
Hurt people.
Mm. I think that's from, who's that from? Chap Clark?
Yeah.
Chap Clark.
Yes, I think so.
Hurting 2.0?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Hurting, but anyways, that's a good thought. I mean, you talked well about that whole idea of the story behind hurt. There's always a story. We assume that it's just hurt, but no, there's a story in that hurt too. Yeah. So it's good. It's good good stuff for us to hear and respond to. But no, great night. Seemed like there was a lot of kids, a lot of action.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good.
Yeah. Youth again this Thursday for both campuses. Gitch has youth Tuesday, Thursday. We're heading to Tri-City.
Yes.
To run a youth thing there on their Tuesday night.
Just the two of you?
No. Me, Annalie. Evan, Amanda, Daniel, Kelly, then like 10 students.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're excited. And now we're going to get into one of my favorite parts of this podcast, and that's called Here's the Thing.
Here is
Gitch,
the thing.
Gitch, take us away.
Here's the thing. I went through the drive-thru the other day, not a double drive-thru. It was a single drive-through at Tim Hortons.
Tim Hortons.
Okay, it's one of Canada's finest coffee. Yes. I shouldn't say finest. It's one of Canada's coffee establishments.
It's Canada's most iconic coffee.
Yes.
Canada's most iconic coffee establishment.
You could put Tim Hortons on the Canadian flag and probably people would not be objective.
I agree with that.
You know?
Yep.
Why? Oh, yeah, that's Canada, Tim Hortons.
Right? Yeah, or a little Timbit.
Yeah, or Timbit, yes.
Misshapen, yeah, dough ball. So I went through the drive-through and they shook me down for $2. Get this. I ordered a coffee.
What size?
They shook you down. I think it was a large.
Large?
And it was close to $3.
No, it is not.
Okay, it was more than two.
No.
It is ridiculous. You need to know this, that about maybe 2 years ago or so, get this, they didn't just increase their prices, which they do frequently, and I get that. Minimum wage goes up. I get that. And inflation and, coffee's harder to grow now because of the environment and blah, blah. I get all that. But the crazy part is that to further complicate things, they not only increased the prices, but then they went ahead and changed the names of the sizes.
Mm-hmm.
This was a few years ago, and
you're still struggling.
I still can't get it. I order a medium thinking I'm getting what used to be a medium back in the good old days, it seems like. And then I get something completely different. What are the sizes?
I pulled up the prices here. So a coffee, a small, is $1.59.
Too much.
A medium.
This is before tax, though.
A medium, $1.79.
Yes.
A large, $1.99.
Yes, add tax to
extra large is $2.19.
Right. $2.19 plus tax. Imagine that. What's that?
For an extra large.
That's got to be close to $3.
$2.30.
Is that the math?
That is the math.
$2.30 for a coffee at Tim Hortons.
Yeah, what is, I know.
This ain't Starbucks, right? I'm going to...
Well, here's the deal with me that frustrates you. If you go through the drive-through and you order, if I order a medium coffee or a large coffee, extra large coffee, it's always a half cream. Regardless, half cream.
Yep, and they have the technology to
do
that.
They can do that, and yet you drive away and say, should I look to see if they got it right?
Mm.
And too many times, it's not right. And then there's about these sizes, as you have mentioned, have shrunk. You know, you're extra large, you know, these tall cups, and you think, what's the difference between a large and an extra large? A very little. And then they don't fill it to the top. So now sure. I have to come in and say, please fill it to the top.
So after you go through the drive-thru, you'll get out of your truck and walk inside?
I have done it, yes.
For like another ounce of coffee?
While I'm in, yes, because I paid for that ounce at least another 25 cents.
That's true.
So that, just to back up your point there about the large increase, and then they don't fill it up anyways.
That's true.
So if you got, you know, an inch and a half gap on the back, what's with that, you know?
And to make matters worse, you know what else happens far too often? Is they line up the sippy part of the lid with the seam on
seam,
the cup.
Not good.
I think there's someone there who, as they said, he gets paid to, you know, quality control, make sure that it's lined up.
See, how hard is it? In football, when you, as a quarterback, what do? When you receive the ball on a hike, you got to put your hands on the laces. If you don't, bad throw. That's you right. cannot line up your finger, your lid.
Mm. And the seam.
And the seam. With where the opening on the lid with the seam, you should not do that. It's not football,
right?
You don't put your fingers on the.
But I'm pretty sure just to upset guys like you and I and Luke too here, we're quite quiet on the subject. But I'm surprised it doesn't bother you more. But they got to have someone who really goes and lines these things up just to upset me.
But you got to remember,
I would do a great things in life to just upset you, Gitch.
Yes,
I think
they may
would.
Know you.
They know you. They're like, oh, here comes Andrew.
We can take this guy.
This
off.
Is the. In we're going to line his seam up
yeah.
because we know this ticks him off. Every other customer doesn't really care. But Andrew. See, but no, do you know what bugs me about Tim Hortons? Is their donuts.
Oh, see, yeah, they've
see,
changed
I
that too.
See, I dislike their
now they got
frozen,
tattoos on their donuts.
Like frozen these. Donuts. Their sandwiches are small.
Yes. Yes.
They have fries now.
They sell fries?
They yeah. Potato wedges.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, ever since Burger King took them over, downhill.
Yeah.
What's next, man?
I don't know, probably.
Cotton candy.
They sell chicken burgers at Tim Hortons.
That's muddying the brand. If Tim, if you're listening, you've muddied the brand.
Tim would not be happy with the way Tim Hortons has gone. He's long passed away.
He has a...
Yes, he died in a
guess
car wreck.
He played for...
The Toronto Maple Leafs. What was his number?
19.
Seven.
His number seven.
Number seven.
He would be appalled by the way Canada is letting.
It's extortion.
This never was his idea.
Right.
He wanted a good cup of coffee. He was a hockey player who wanted a good cup of coffee and a donut. You know, the
a
training
fresh,
back
a
then
fresh
was,
made donut.
Was a little bit different than it is today.
A fresh made donut.
See, but now they
frozen.
Went away and all the stuff comes in frozen. It's pre-done. All the, you know, they just throw it in the oven. So it's not.
This
handy.
Is why I go to Old Hand every Friday at 4 o'clock to get a fresh baked donut.
Here's the thing, though. I think Tim Hortons, as a corporation, they've got us right where they want us, where we're a little bit jaded.
But there's nowhere else
we
to go.
We keep coming
well,
back.
Well, see, when we're tired with them, then they set out the
roll
here
the rim.
Roll up the rim.
And
get you all
back.
Excited again.
And apparently, when Canada turns 150, that's good enough reason to do it twice.
And milk you another time.
Right?
Oh. Suck you right in.
And then they don't make it available on all the
how
cup sizes.
How do you
sizes.
Take your coffee, Gitch? What is it?
At Timmy's, one cream.
One cream.
Yep.
Here comes... Gitch, one cream...
Gulovich.
Fleece me over.
Andrew, one cream Gulovich.
That's right.
What did you say you got... You got patted? No, what did you say?
They shook me down.
Shook me down. Here comes Gitch.
Shake me
down.
I just...
hated every second of ripping that
when I,
bank card out there.
Sure. When I first got hooked into Tim Hortons, I was in about grade 9, probably going into grade 10, and Double-Double was... Me and my buddies, we all got hooked. It's like the gateway into coffee. Double-Double.
Double-Double.
Yeah, for a long time. That's how I got hooked in. Now, a large... was $1.53 after tax. So I knew this is back when we had pennies. I would carry a loony, quarters, 3 pennies, or a nickel, and then I knew I'd get 2 pennies back, and that always just, you know.
Did you ever put it in a little Tim Hortons camp
I would
fund?
Just let the lady keep it. A little something, something, you know?
Oh.
That's right. They
you
like me.
You are too kind.
Right? But now.
They owe you now.
They do. And one last thing here, for here's the thing, is that, do you ever notice if you buy a coffee, it's so, because we got rid of the penny, it's always, the final price is always.
Not in your favor,
it's beyond
it?
The threshold of not the rounding. Never.
Not all the time, Gitch.
Always.
No.
On single items. Always.
See.
What is it? 219, 230, 229? It always rounds up. Oh, it never God is next. Below the rounding threshold.
So you got to add something else to make it that 282, and then you get it for 280.
That's true. See, I don't have that all dialed in
come
yet.
Come on. Dial it in just where it's to your advantage. Those 2 pennies are coming back to me.
That's right. It's the universe giving back to me.
Oh,
oh man.
Okay, we're going to
I could go for literally all day.
I bet you could.
Have you had your coffee already?
Stop me. No, I haven't.
Oh.
Stop me.
Okay,
stop me.
This is going to be a short podcast.
Now we are going to talk about Halloween.
Well, we started that last week a little bit, didn't we?
Sorry, we talked about scary movies.
Yeah.
Talked about the movie It that's out. And now we are going to talk about Halloween.
Okay.
Ron, Gitch, is Halloween something that Christian family should celebrate? Should parents send their kids out to go trick-or-treating and to get candy from strangers? Is that smart? What should parents do with high school students? Should they let their kids go to the high school Halloween parties, dress up, and see? And it's that one excuse for everyone to wear no clothes, but wear clothes at the same time, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, I think culture has actually taken this for a long run now. I mean, I obviously am the oldest guy around this table. And having grown up in the culture of Halloween, it was never a commercial, as commercialized as it is now, back then. I mean, back then it was, you know, you could kind of make a costume if you wanted to. But basically, you know, you do a couple of things, you know, throw a sheet over your head or something like that, or wear a cape and be Superman or something like that. Yeah, I mean, you could still do all of those things.
Yeah.
But it was not as, it was a trusting sort of deal where a kid could wander into any neighborhood and get a boatload of candy, good stuff for the most part. Mm-hmm. Now, I think today, with the way it has been commercialized, and even with the whole idea of it has to be scary to a degree, I mean, you have to kind of have a bit of a freakish sort of you know, costume, you know, not just not for little kids, but I mean, you know, Halloween was meant for little kids, and now all of a sudden it's gravitated towards adults. Like businesses dress up for Halloween, you know, banks and restaurants, you know, waiters and waitresses and tellers, they all got to be dressed up and whatever, whatever, you know. So it has become very, very commercialized. I mean, the stores are stocked with this stuff in mid-July already, just, you know, getting it ready. And then the candy comes out, and of course everybody gets it. But in today's world, you can't trust candy.
That's true.
You know, I mean, there have been numerous times where, you know, bad stuff has come into there, and so it really pushed that back a bit, and you dial it in, and so now you're conscious a little bit of all.
Well, there
that.
Was a day too where even when I was a kid, I remember people would homemade stuff.
Yes,
you know, like little treat bags of cookies or saltwater taffy. Or,
yeah,
and that was fine.
Yep, yeah, you trust it.
Right,
but not no more.
No, you never let us eat that stuff.
No,
anything that was unwrapped.
Yeah, they'll be garbaged. Yeah,
that was always my least favorite as a kid, is when it'd be like hand. Bowls of like unwrapped candy corn.
Or,
like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, candy corn or Rice Krispie squares wrapped in, you know,
saran wrap. I'm like,
what's going on here?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah. Candy corn. We should do a here's the thing on candy corn.
Ugh, I hate candy corn. Yeah. Just every stereotypical candy that comes out on holidays that sucks. Candy canes, candy corn.
Yeah, that's true.
All so, those, I mean, just even getting beans, back to that peeps. Whole idea of what culture has done, and I think parents have to figure this thing out now because the pressure is on, you know, because it's parties for little kids, it's parties for teenagers, it's party for young adults, it's parties for parents, it's party for workplaces.
Yeah.
A lot of excuses just to party in the name of Halloween and the celebration of that day, you know, which was, you know, it was an opportunity for to celebrate All Saints, you know, all that kind of thing.
Oh, I love All Saints Day.
And
favorite holiday.
And what happens with that is that it turned into something somewhat evil, you know.
I know.
And
if everyone would have just dressed up as John Calvin, we wouldn't have this problem.
There you go. Yeah.
I think, I think it's absolutely been commercialized. And this happens with every holiday, and you go to Costco and, like I say, around mid-July, and it's like you got the big Costco value size candy boxes out and everything. You know, they got
stock
this,
up.
They got this scary whatever guy, the little battery-powered guy who's going to reach you and yell at you. And they've got all these frightening things out, and I think it has been radically over-commercialized. And so it's, I think it's important as Christians, but also just as consumers, to be aware of, you know, the power of marketing and these kinds of things. I know even, I believe it's Nestle, they make their coffee crisp, coffin crisp at Halloween.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they changed the name from Smarties to, I think, Scaries. They changed the label and everything.
That's pretty funny.
It is funny.
That's, I like a good pun.
It's punny. But the problem is, it's just coffee another evidence of how, you know, consumerism all plays into this. And I mean, you get these pop-up shops for Halloween that open up, you know, early September, and they're open for 2 months. And I actually know a guy who comes to our church, his daughters manage one of these. And for 2 months of the year, they run these stores. And she makes an unbelievable amount of money as a manager. And she works unbelievable hours for just totally, you know, sun up till sundown and beyond. She works so many hours for 2 months straight and makes just killer money. Mm-hmm. No pun intended. Makes killer money. And then they lock up shop and they send everything back and it gets put into storage and then they roll it all out again next year. And it's just, it's a short window, but it's unbelievable the amount of money that gets spent. So I think it's just important to also be cognizant as Christians, but also just as, you know, people who operate in society that we can't,
how much money do we spend on this?
And we can't take the bait on the coffin crisp.
Yeah.
I have two things on this. One is that one of the reasons why I think Halloween is such a big thing is because we as Christians have forgotten how to party, how to celebrate. Mm.
True.
Is that we are joy deprived and kids are like, my parents are boring or our family is boring and I need something to excite me. And I think we have forgotten how to actually have a good time and party just to party. Not like party like in the modern sense where we just like everyone gets wasted, but like party to have a good time. Like, it's weird how we have to have an excuse to have friends over and to throw what we'd call a party.
Exactly.
We have to have an excuse. It's not like, hey, I'm having people over. Okay, why? Someone's
birthday.
Or
it's, right.
My Daniel Markin for our community group, he would on Facebook, he would say, in order to get people out, he'd be like, Luke's Rager birthday. And everyone would come because they thought it was my birthday. It wasn't my birthday. And then everybody would be like, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. Oh, I'm coming. And then he told me it wasn't my birthday. And then I told him it wasn't my birthday. Like, oh, I probably wouldn't have come if it wasn't your birthday.
That's right. Yeah.
So we have forgotten how to party and to actually just celebrate, to celebrate life and to celebrate what God has given us as good things.
And which by the way, it's an instruction in Scripture to do that, to do that often, to have fellowship and to break bread and to do these things. You don't need some lame holiday on the calendar.
Well, for sure we don't need culture to remind us to have a good time.
As Christians, we should be the ones who are always celebrating.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because our hope and our insurance is in something so much greater than this cultural high, than this thing that just passes. Like, we have this hope that is eternal, that is everlasting. Why are we not celebrating more? Why are we always so serious all the time?
Well, yeah, we sang that song at church yesterday. I stand amazed.
Yeah.
You know, what Christ has done, you know. And I think it's true. Like, do we forget who we are? Do we forget our reason that we should celebrate? And that doesn't mean that we put our head in the sand, so to speak, and don't know about any troubles. We all live with troubles and trials. But there is a the book of Philippians, the joyfulness of all of this is to celebrate what God has done and continues to do in our lives. So when we get this, as parents and as youth leaders, we have to kind of set the pace as to what that means.
Yeah. Then my second thing is I was talking to my girlfriend about what she what her family did on Halloween. And this is a couple, like a month ago or something like that. And she was saying that they never celebrated Halloween. They just had a party with all their family friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, that's so smart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they said it was a great time. Everyone came to expect it. Every year they'd have like a big barn party.
Mm.
There'd be games.
Was it a Rager barn party?
Probably a Rager barn party.
Yeah, I bet.
So, I mean, it's stuff like that, like doing stuff as a family, inviting other families and just getting a tradition down where it's like, no, we expect to do this, not because it's Halloween, but because
yeah,
we are joyful. We like to party, and I mean, a little bit of it is countering culture.
It is, yeah.
But I mean, we need to.
Well, for years we did this at the church I was involved with in Northview, or in Willing Church, sorry. I get them mixed up at this age. Willing, we had this pumpkin patch party, you know, and so the high school group was very involved with that, and we would, you know, set up stations, and we had this big party. We did it here at Northview, too, for a little while. And there could be pros and cons to all of that, too, because now we are competing with culture. Mm-hmm. The church is lashing back. You know, you sinners who do Halloween parties, now, you know, you got to choose, you know, and all of those things. And, you know, and there's, yeah, I would say the pros and cons of that. But I think I agree. The family has a deeper responsibility in this. And I don't think we necessarily need to look to the church and say, okay, what are you going to do about Halloween? You know, well, mom and dad, what are you going to do about Halloween? Yeah. You know, I think part of that is that there is a lot of invitation, you know, for teenagers to be out and about on Halloween and to have the party of parties. And it's things that people want to go to. And so that's where, as believers, we are to be different. You know, we are not meant to be those who are seen to be taken up by the world's standards. And so this one or two times a year or three times a year, whenever there's a reason for a party, well, we can kind of drop our guard and just go have fun like the world, you know. And I think that's what we have to be aware of.
Yeah. What do you think, to build off your question here, Luke, at the beginning, can you go too far to completely, I mean, we've done that before as a family too, as a kid. We would go out somewhere. We would turn the lights off, lock the doors, and just
hide.
You know, no, we would be gone. But yeah, we would essentially kind of just remove ourselves from that bit. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do. That's not necessarily a bad response, because you could go to one of these family parties or wherever. Go to your church, because our church put on stuff like that too. But I guess my question is, can you go too far as to isolate yourself and just be so insular and put on the blinders and now become aloof and become ignorant to everything that is going on? Mm-hmm. Can you go too far with that, with avoiding Halloween?
Well, I think it depends on, I mean, you're talking about the family? Family, or are you talking level, or?
Yeah, maybe more so family level, but.
I think early on, I think, you know, when you do have, you know, an extreme amount of influence on your kids, to run wild without any understanding of, okay, just it's party, 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 party. We're going to do this, pull out all the stops, so to speak. Yes, we're going to do this, but we're not going to do things stupid, you know, like or whatever like that. But I think early on, I think you need to send a message loud and clear to your kids. This is, okay, we don't need to do this. And I think we have to ask the question, why would we do it?
Right.
You know, for the sake of, you know, is there honor and glory to God in all of this? Mm-hmm. I think the older your kids get, you realize that, okay, there is going to be a lot of invitation. You know, you're going to experience a lot of differing things where the family umbrella is no longer there. Mm-hmm. I think once the kids are in tow, you know, you got to make those decisions as a family. But you'll want your kids to be able to make good decisions as they get older. So do they have the background of saying, you know what, this is not that important to me, you know? But there's some people who live for Halloween. Like, this is the best ever. Mm-hmm. Really? You know? And, you know, I would not want to say that, you know, from a Christian perspective, that this is the best ever, for sure. So I don't think we need to get tied up into that and saying that we have to do something to compete and we don't have to do something just because we need to. What is the purpose why we're doing it? Where is our, are we being a follower of Christ by stepping into this? Do my kids have an understanding of what the culture says and what does Jesus want out of all this? And how do I live my life accordingly? What do my friends think of me? How is my influence in all of this? And I think that's an important part of this. And so early on, I think there's a stage of protection. There's a stage of, hey, we can insulate our kids from this. That doesn't mean we isolate, you know. I think we don't want to just isolate ourselves and go run to the hills and not be part of this. You know, there's a way that we can communicate Christ's love all the way through this, and that's say, I don't live for this holiday. I live for Christ. Mm-hmm. And I want my kids to be able to say that, nah, that's not that important, really, you know? And hopefully there's a way that we can bring people to a closer relationship with God. And I think our first responsibility as a parent is to do that with our kids.
Mm. Yeah. That's good stuff. Well, that's the end of the podcast for today. Hope you enjoyed. If you have any questions, please email us at betweentworlds@northview.org. Do you have anything to give Gitch? Like
laundry?
Tim card?
Laundry, yeah. Tim card.
Won't go very far.
Well, it depends how big it is.
What was $50?
$50. You'd say no.
I get three coffees.
Gitch, I think your math is going emotional though on you. You can't do math and emotions at the same time.
It's true.
Okay, just take a step back.
I need a coffee.
Yeah, you need a coffee.
Let's go get coffee.